I'm going to say just a little bit about me. I'm Johnny. All right, like you said, I'm the high school pastor. Where are my eighth graders in the room? All right, I'll be seeing you soon. I'll be seeing you soon. And so I'm the high school pastor. My name's Johnny. I'm friends with Shane. And he asked me to kind of speak today just in case, well, what happened, happened, right? And so it worked out well. Just some basic stuff. Kind of the biggest deal in my life right now is about what's the biggest deal in Shane's life right now. It's my baby. I have a six-month-old baby. His name is Ben, and he loves his giraffe. He just loves that little giraffe so much. But guess what? He hates green beans or whatever that is. I'm not sure what that is, but he just doesn't like that very much. But if you just give him his giraffe, he's cool. All right, so that's the biggest deal in my life right now is my baby Ben. All right, Benjamin Webb. And so him and Asher, they're going to be like bros. They're just going to be best friends. I'm going to start teaching them like a secret handshake real soon here. And so that's me. I do prefer Batman over Superman. I think that is clearly the answer like to that debate that's going on. Definitely not a cat person. No, not a cat person at all. I like dogs. Okay, anyone else with me there? Okay. It's unanimous. It's almost a unanimous decision here. What are we doing with all these cats? Oh, well, they are roaming the streets like every cat does. That's why I don't like them. So, and the last thing, I'm a baseball fan. I got any baseball fans in the room here? Okay. That's awesome. Hey, don't boo. Come on, bro. Don't boo. I'm not just a fan, though. I like to play the game. All right, anyone playing right now? Is anyone like on a club team? Okay, I did that. I even got to play just a little bit in college. Believe it or not, the short, skinny me was actually able to play in college. And because I'm not much of like a Brad St. Louis, Brad, he's just Brad. I had to rely on like my speed and I could throw pretty hard. Okay, I'm not just bragging, I'm just saying that's what I was good at. Okay, so I could throw pretty hard. But I don't think that my good arm was necessarily made for baseball. It was made for something far, far, far greater. Not football. Nice try. It was throwing water balloons. That, my friend, is why I believe God gave me a good arm, all right? And I'm in college, right? And I was a baseball player by night, but I was a water balloon ninja, or baseball player by day, but a water balloon ninja by night, okay? And me and my friend, we had this little, like, team. Like, we were legit, okay? We were dressed in black. We had the hoodies. We had the face paint. We had the binoculars. One of my friends had camo, and he was in the bushes. Like, it got real, all right? And we'd stake out on the top of, like, a parking lot, and we just wait for cars to drive by. I'm going to go somewhere with this. Don't get any ideas. Don't pop the balloons. That would be bad. Don't fill these with water and then go throw them at the people coming out of main stage today. Do not do that, okay? Do not do that. But let me just tell you a story real quick. Can I tell you a story? Yes. Okay, so I'll never forget this one night. I get a phone call from my friend in the bushes. Here it comes. You better be ready. Is it your turn, Johnny? And I'm like, yeah, it is, man. Yeah, it is. And I'm nervous because it's my turn. And it's been a while since I've had a successful launch. Okay, he's like, Johnny, here one comes. Are you ready? It's a big one. You're gonna want this one because this is driving up the driveway, up through the parking lot. It's a Mustang. And I'm like, whoa. And I'm like pacing, I'm kind of nervous. Like, Johnny, you don't got much time, man. You gotta get stretched. You gotta get ready, right? And so I take aim and I get low and I judge the wind speed. One last adjustment, and I say my last little prayer. God, be with this little water balloon as it flies so swiftly and accurately through the air towards its target. And I threw it. And I mean, I reached back and I threw it far. Right when I threw it, I knew this had a chance for glory. It was just tracking this thing, man. Like, this thing's coming up, and here comes the balloon. It's just like a heat-seeking missile. Right? And it's gonna hit. I'm like, it's gonna hit. And it goes through the sunroof of the car. Boom! Face shot. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh! Face shot. And I'm like jumping up and down. Like, good thing I didn't want to blow my cover or anything. When I get to the top of the building, you can just see a bunch of guys like jumping up and down. But guess what? I'm expecting like four guys to kind of hop out of the car and be like, "Hey, who did that?" And I'm like, "Oh, I better run." Four girls hopped out of the car. I just hit a girl in the face with a water balloon, and I'm like, "Oh, this is over for me. I'm done." You know, they're probably just having a great time, like just cruising, like, "Oh, I gotta be so rude." Boom! Just right in the face. Rude, right? And so, I am, like I said, I'm going somewhere with this. And yes, gentlemen, if you're listening, don't treat the ladies this way. Okay, that is one practical application of this story. But where I'm actually going with this is more of the location of my school, the car, the types of things that was surrounding my school. It was Southern California. It was kind of right by Magic Mountain, if you've been there. And if you'd even take the freeway a little bit further down, you'd reach a city called Hollywood and Beverly Hills. You guys heard of these? You guys heard of these cities? And so, man, the place that I grew up in college for a little bit was just like glamour, man. Everything was shiny, right? Like everything was just shiny. Everything just glimmered. And you're like, "Wow, this just feels rich." All right, so like cars like that, houses were huge. People had everything, man. And so like we take weekend drives just to go down some of these like streets in Beverly Hills. Like we go to the beach sometimes on the weekends. We're like, "Let's take a detour." And so we go into Beverly Hills and we go down some of these streets and it's like, mansion, like bigger than this room. People lived in there. It's like they get lost in their house. Like, how do you live in there? Nice cars, all of these things. And I'm just like, "Wow." But guess what? It's hard to believe this, but Beverly Hills and Hollywood and that whole area, one of the richest parts in the whole United States, right? But it's also one of the most depressed and unhappy parts of the United States. Now think about that just for a second. I just talked about huge houses, cars, money, everything like that. People that have it all, and yet there's still something about their lifestyle that doesn't produce happiness. And so you and me, just like everyone in Hollywood and in Beverly Hills and in Southern California, everyone, even in Gilbert, we're all in pursuit of happiness. We're all running after happiness. And it's kind of hard to define happiness. Like, what is truly happiness? You know, it is that feeling, right? It's like, what makes me just feel good? Like, what makes my life just have purpose and meaning? What do I like to have? And like, it's this feeling of happiness, and we're all running after it. What if this whole time we've been running after happiness, we've been running in the wrong direction? What if we've been running in the wrong direction the whole time? Something to think about. That's why we're doing this series. It's just going to be 2 weeks long. We're going to try and jam-pack it as much as we can and make it simple, but we're all in pursuit of it. We're all in pursuit of it. And now, just for a second, let's take a drive, all right? Kind of imagine this for a second. Let's all hop on a bus together, all right? Let's hop on a school bus together. Let's take a drive down Beverly Hills, okay? Now let's take a right. Let's go into a neighborhood. Not just any neighborhood. Let's say this is the nicest neighborhood in the whole city. And let's park this bus right in front of a house in a cul-de-sac. And not just any house, the biggest, nicest, shiniest house in the whole cul-de-sac. And let's go knock on the door. Let's knock on the door. And up and answers the door the most popular, the richest, the coolest, like the kind of the guy of the whole neighborhood. And let's ask him his story. We're going to kind of do that right now. If you've got a Bible with me, would you go to the book of Ecclesiastes? Because that guy that we just described, that house, that neighborhood, who that guy is right here in a sense. So if you have no idea where Ecclesiastes is, like I see some of you are like, "I'm not even close." Just kind of get the Bible, go in the middle. It's right around Psalms and Proverbs. Go to the right, you'll find it. If you're at Isaiah, stop. Go left, you're almost there. If you got a phone, I don't need to give you help. You know where you're going, okay? So Ecclesiastes, The book of Ecclesiastes. And let's start in chapter 1. I, the teacher, and I'm in verse 12. I should have said that before. Verse 12 of chapter 1. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. Now stop and look up just for a second. The teacher. Interesting. This guy calls himself the teacher. Some of your Bibles might even say the preacher. Who this guy is a man named Solomon. You guys heard of Solomon before? Okay, so Solomon, like he said, is a king, and he's a king over Jerusalem, all right? And he just says, what does he say right here? I've applied my mind to explore all that is done under the heavens. So he's like, I'm going to try an experiment for a second. I'm going to see what this life is all about. Okay, and a little fun fact about this teacher, this guy named Solomon, this king, right when he first became king, and he's actually not too much older than everyone in this room, which is crazy to think about, God approaches him, and he's like, Solomon, I got a question for you. Are you ready? Solomon's like, yeah. What do you want? Anything. I'm not going to ask you this ever again in your whole life. You can have anything that you want. What's it going to be? And Solomon's like, ooh, don't get that question very often. Are you sure? Like anything? God's like, anything, man. What is it? He weighs his options. He thinks about it for some time. And he's like, I got it. I got my answer. Wisdom. And God's like, hold on. I'm not sure I heard you correctly, Solomon. What? Wisdom. You want to be smart. Solomon, that's your answer? You want to be like the smartest guy in the whole world. That's your answer. Yeah, that's my answer. Anyone else confused? I mean, I'm thinking a couple million bucks, superpower, a flight, maybe some lifetime supply of sushi. That'd be cool. This guy's like, no, man, just some brains. I'm good with that. Why would he ask that? This guy was a brand new on the scene king. Never been a king before, never been in charge of taxes, never been in charge of an army. He's like, I've never done this before. God, can you just give me wisdom? God liked that answer. He's like, okay. And it says, this is the smartest man to ever live. And God's also like, you know what? That was such a good answer. I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to give you a ton of stuff too. So it worked out pretty well for him. All right, so that's who this is, right? Like that's who this guy is on the block, the nicest house on the neighborhood, the king of Jerusalem. It's Solomon. And now I want you to jump down. Go to verse 14. He says, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, right? He's like, I've done the experiment. All of them are meaningless. All of them are meaningless. It's like chasing after wind. Is this guy depressed? Like, should we hug Solomon right now? Like, what's going on? He's like, it's all meaningless. It's all meaningless. Now, this word meaningless actually isn't more of this like, I'm depressed. Everything's pointless in life. This is terrible. It's something more. This word means something else. It also could mean a word mist, okay? Like the sprinklers on a restaurant on a hot day that just make everything better, right? Like a mist, or even like the mist of like a water bottle, like a spray bottle, you know what I mean? Like, come on, work. Mist, right? James 4:14 says, life is a mist that appears for a while and then falls straight to the ground. So life is like mist. It appears for a while and then it vanishes. It'd be cool if this worked again, but it doesn't. All right, that's fine. Okay, but you guys know, you get the point, right? Like it's in the air for what, like 3 seconds? And then it just disappears, right? It just disappears. It's in the air for like 3 seconds and it's just, yeah, we're just gonna be done with that. Life is like a mist. And he's going somewhere with this. Life's meaningless. Life is almost like a mist. Think about it this way. If you could compare your life, like the years that you live, almost, and you take a step back and you think about forever. You think about eternity. It really is like a mist that you'd spray in the air. It's there, and then it's gone. It's just gone. We could go a couple of different ways with this. You could go, man, I gotta make every minute count because it's here and then it's just gone. Or we could start thinking about all of the things like our anxieties and our fears and our desires and our endless pursuit and our running after things that are gonna make us happy and all of these things. And when you look back, and you look back on it, and it's like, man, did all of that really matter? I mean, because it was there, and then it was just gone. I mean, think about the things when you were like a little kid that just drove you crazy. Like, man, like, are you still holding on to the one time your little brother like took your toy when you were 4? Some of you are shaking your head. Okay, there's some baggage. You know, we can talk after. But, like, it's kind of, like, basically, it's almost like this. It's almost like these things will eventually seem silly. When we've lived our life and these things that we've been chasing after were there for, like, 3 seconds and then they were gone. When you compare your life to forever. And this guy's on to something. And in this next chapter, he continues his little experiment. All right, let's say you had that $1 million, right? Let's bring it back to the cash. What if you only had 24 hours? What if you had one day to just spend it all? Some of this stuff would be a lot more difficult. You might change your answer. This guy is almost like, set the timer. I'm going to go crazy. Give me a day. Give me 24 hours. Watch this. Solomon does this in chapter 2. You still with me? Get your Bibles. Go to chapter 2. He says in verse 4, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself. Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. You're probably thinking, that's weird. I would never do that. Okay, pretend like you just built a sun splash in your backyard, all right? That's what this guy just did. I just built a sun splash. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. Go to verse 8. He's talking about all his silver and his money. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. And jump down to verse 10. He's like, I didn't say no to anything. Verse 10, I deny myself nothing. I refuse my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in everything I did, and this was the reward for my toil. Now look at this. Verse 11. Yet. So he's almost like, boom, boom, boom. But guess what? Meaningless, man. It was meaningless. Once again, I'm confused. Tell me, sunsplash in your backyard isn't cool? It's cool. He's like, that was awesome. Like, all that stuff was so great. I have so much money, I can't even like think straight. He doesn't even use Kleenex. He uses $100 bills. That's how much money this guy has. I have all this stuff, but I didn't have it all. Something was missing. Something was missing. You see, he was trying to fill his life with so much. He was just trying to pack it all in. His life, he was trying to fill it to the top with so much, but there's something empty. Okay, let's put ourselves in one more situation. Can you guys do that for me? Okay, Let's pretend like we're in a desert. We are. Yeah, I heard it. We are. It's a desert. We're in a desert. Let's actually think. We've been dropped straight in the middle of an Arizona desert in the middle of July. It's 124 degrees outside. You know, like, man. And we're out of water. Terrible situation. Panic mode sets in. Right? Like, you're so thirsty, like, you know, like you get that dry, like you're desperate for just a drop. That's bad, is it not? You kind of need some water. Okay, let's just say we come across a stream. We've got our water bottle. And we book it straight for that stream. And we get that water bottle. And we're scooping. And we're scooping. And we're scooping. And we've got our water. We've got it. And I'm going to survive. And you take a swig. But then, like, it's gone. You're like, I had a little bit. Like, where did it all go? What if there's a hole, a small, tiny hole in that bottom of that water bottle you had no idea was there the entire time? What if you were running so fast after that river that you didn't notice the cactus that was kind of right here, and it just went, and it just hit the water bottle, just a little tiny hole. That little tiny hole makes a difference when your life's on the line in this scenario, right? Because that water that you drank half of it, it was good. I mean, it got the job done, but just for a little while. In the long run, you need that thing full. You need a full water bottle. You don't have one with a leak in it. It's pointless, right? It's satisfied for just a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's not going to get the job done. Solomon was still thirsty, right? Like, in this scenario that we were just in, now kind of take a step out and put this man in this scene, right? Like, he was filling his water bottle up. He was filling his heart up with so much, trying to pack it into the brim. But there was a little hole in his heart that no matter what he filled in his heart, that hole started to leak. There was a crack. There was a little hole in his heart that left it somewhat empty at the end. And he was still thirsty. And Jesus has a solution for this. He's like, hey, you thirsty? Come to me. I've got an endless supply of water. You'll never be thirsty again. And he's not speaking like literally. He's saying, listen, like, let me paint a picture for you. If you're in a desert and that's all you need water to survive, to live, I've got that. I can fill that hole in your heart. I can super glue that crack so it won't leak anymore. I can do that. It's when we allow our stuff, a relationship with a boy or a girl, like the whole triple digits on Instagram thing and like the number of retweets and all of these things to fill our heart. When those things, listen, this is important. When all of those things are the ultimate thing, that's a bad thing. It's when all of those things are the one and only ultimate thing, the happiness in our life, that's a bad thing. Because people and stuff, they'll tell us we're happy all day long. But like I said before, happiness is a feeling, and feelings come and go. Is there something that will stay? Is there something that isn't just a feeling that will last? And that's the most important thing in our life. And that's Jesus. Jesus is like, I'll be that ultimate thing. Heck yeah. Stop trying to fill your life with all of these fun and great things, right? Like, I'm not here saying, destroy all your iPhones. Money is stupid, right? You can't have fun in this life. I'm not saying that at all, right? And I'm not saying you can't be popular. I'm not saying all of this. But when those things are the center of attention and Jesus isn't, Jesus is like, time out. Let's talk. That needs to be me. I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to keep talking about this until next week, I think. I'm going to let this one settle. So, will you do me a favor? Mm-hmm. You come back. Will you come back next week? Will you bring a friend? Can you do that for me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's like 15 chairs here. Someone in your life. There's got to be someone in your life that's doing this. I mean, because we're all doing this, right? Like, I'm even doing it. I'm filling up my heart with things and things that don't ultimately matter. And there's a lot of people out there, and maybe yourself included, that they need to understand life is a mist. It's there, and then it's gone. And there's something that will last. His name's Jesus. Jesus, we pray right now, here in this room, that you would encourage us in this moment. Man, I don't want us to be depressed. I don't want us to read this verse that says everything's meaningless and go, all right, what's the point in life? That's actually not what he's talking about at all. Solomon's not talking about that at all. He wants us to search for the meaning in life. That's why he says that. And God, may we search for that. If we haven't found it yet, may you open our hearts and our ears to you, to your Son. And God, may we come back next week and we come with eager minds and hearts to learn more about your Son, who wants to give us something called joy, and not necessarily happiness. And we pray this in your name. Amen.